Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
The question I have for you this morning is, what's your purpose? Yeah, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. That's on page 977 in the Pew Bibles. What that means is the Bibles that are in front of you, we have the page number in case you don't know how to negotiate your way through the scriptures. You can actually turn there and figure it out. And if you don't have the Bible, take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. So as you're turning there, let me ask you this. What's your purpose? Who created you? Was it with intent? And can we know God's purpose for us? Well, I think a lot of us know the answer to that. Is one, we know, yes, God created us. And was it with intent? Well, if you know who our God is, you know he had a purpose behind creation. And then the big question, can we know God's purpose for us? The answer is yes. My main point this morning is when our purpose is Christ, we grow. When our purpose is Christ, we grow. Ephesians chapter 10, or chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Once you are there, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Pray for me as I pray for us. Father, I humbly come to you and ask that you would prophetically speak through me in this time, in this place, through your word, that your spirit would come and fill our hearts and our minds, fill mine. That the gift that you've given me, Lord God, I pray that you would use it to your glory and that no one would leave here, no one would leave here without knowing who you are and what their purpose is, and what that means for them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. So my main point, as I said, when our purpose is Christ, we grow. Now I want to start, and I've done this before, and some of you may recognize it. It's a little thing that I taught at Coastline Christian School. So I teach chapel pretty consistently at Coastline. Absolutely love that school. Love being able to just be there. And so I asked the question, what's the big idea of the Bible? Now here's where it gets difficult. You guys ready for some participation? I don't feel like I have all of you. You guys ready for participation? Okay. All right, so you're going to read the spots that are in yellow, and when it says ask your neighbor, kind of turn and ask them, okay? Are you guys ready? I'm still not feeling it. Are you guys ready? Okay. What's the big idea of the Bible? What's he the hero of? How is Jesus the hero of creation? So what happened? We got... He died and rose again to save us. We found our purpose again. Guess what it is? Well, interestingly enough, that slide got cut off. That's hilarious. So, I guess we'll never know. Our purpose is to follow Jesus because he is our hero. to follow Jesus because he is our hero. Now, I thought this was providential in the fact that I've been teaching this for a few years now at Coastline as well as some other teachings. But when we talk about purpose, it's stemmed in the idea in who is and who Christ is and what his purpose is. And so again, my main point is when our purpose is Christ, we grow. So it does beg the question, what is Christ's purpose? Look at verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might what? Fill all things. If you go to the main point, he might fill all things. That he might fill all things, the purpose of Christ. And so what we have here, the word fill is to cause something to become full. And it ties into the idea that Jesus is, okay, so it's talking about the gospel, verse 10. In other words, he descended from heaven, he lived, he died, he rose, right? And when he rose, he ascended to heaven. That's what it's speaking of in verse 10. And what was the purpose of all that? It says that he might fill all things. That he might fill us by the grace of the gospel. But it's not just us. You see, his kingdom and the mindset of the kingdom mindset is for everybody. And so we take and our purpose, or Christ's purpose, is to go out into all the world, right? And see God's kingdom hit hearts and be life transformed. You guys with me? And so in one sense, we are ambassadors of Christ. And I've seen a few like cool scenarios where it's like we become a light because we're the light of the, right? And so we're the light of the world. So where we go, we bring the kingdom of God with us. We are ambassadors of God, bringing the kingdom in all areas of life. I love one of the commentaries that says this, Jesus has gone on high to pour his glory and excellence over every creature in the universe who is the subject of grace to be the light of the world, the one source of all good. In John 1:16, as it begins the gospel, it says, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." You see, from Christ we receive a fullness because he was full of the deity of God. He was fully man, fully God, came down to this world, and because of what he did, he gave us grace. From the fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, that grace saves us from our sin, yes? So, Jesus died on the cross, we know this, and then he rose again. He took the punishment of our sin on the cross, and then he rose again so that as he has life, he now imparts that life to us. The idea is called justification, the fact that we have been justified before a holy God. Our sin has been removed. Jesus' righteousness, his record of righteousness, has been applied to our account. So when God the Father sees us, he sees us through that record. Amen? And this is really good news. Like, just because we talk about the gospel every week, don't lose sight of how good of news it is. Like, it's a big, 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 should I add a few more? Deal. The fact that you did not deserve the grace of God. By definition, grace is unmerited favor. You didn't earn it, deserve it, any of it. But God, by his grace, calls you by name. I was reminded just recently of the movie The Chosen. You guys seen the movie The Chosen, the series The Chosen, a few of you guys? If not, definitely watch it. There's a part in the movie, and I'm going to, spoiler alert, close your ears if you're that concerned. But there's a part where a prostitute filled with demons, Mary Magdalene, who goes by a different name, Jesus meets with her. And there's some assumption in this story, but he goes, "Mary." Calls her name. And what did that do? If you've seen it, it changes some things, changes everything. And if we could just see that God calls you by name, out of darkness into light, and brings us to the grace of God. So he saves us from our sin to what? I think it's a fair question. He saves us from our sin to the church. He brings us from sin and places us into what's known as the body of Christ or the church. Look at Ephesians 1, is this book that we're in right now starts with. It says, he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so what we see is we see that Jesus saves us from our sin and then puts us within the universal body of Christ. And then the cool thing is that we then become a part of something bigger than ourselves. See, my main point this morning, when our purpose is Christ, we grow. And we're called to fill the earth with God's kingdom. Now look what it says in verse 11. Verse 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, what's cool is this is a little teaser for the next few weeks or however long we're in this series, that he gave the apostles. It's in the context of God giving us gifts. That leadership in the church is a gift. That it's a calling that's attached to God's grace, and it's a gift. But as we see in verse 11, we're going to talk about that, those the fivefold gift ministries and things like that. What I want to point out is this, that those gifts are for, verse 12, to equip. Now, the word equip there, found it very interesting. It's the idea of restoration. Creation, fall, redemption. Okay. The name of our church, guys, Creation, Fall, Redemption. Yeah, in case you're not sure, it's right there, restoration. And that's the cool thing about the word is oftentimes we think, like just by definition in our English language, it just simply means to take something and bring it back to its original value or its original worth. But we see the idea of biblically restoration being something way more than that. It's not just returning to an original, it's returning to in better way. And that we're being equipped. We're being equipped. Restoration, now the cool thing is we're being equipped. We're not totally there. Restoration is a process. We're not fully equipped. We're being equipped, which speaks into the already but not yet. It speaks into the idea, and again, this is just realigning us as a church, that we, because of our justification, are seen by God, holy, blameless, like we have the righteousness of Christ. But why we have confession? How's everybody doing living into that reality? It's a lot harder, isn't it? Like, it's easy, like, by faith, we're like, yes, God, I'm a saint. I'm holy and dearly loved. Like, these are all truths about the Christian. Those are all true. But yet, how we live on Monday may not look very saintly. Why? Because it is a process. As I like to say, our minds are catching up to what our spirits have already experienced. We're already, but not yet. And we're conforming our mind to learn from Christ and kind of enter into that process. That's why our logo is an unfinished R. So you can see here, it's already. Okay, what letter is that? R. It stands for restoration. So you know what it is, but it's not quite complete. It's in process. You see, as a church, as a people, the Bible would say you are a restoration project. God is working in you. You're not there yet, but it's a work in progress. And the cool thing is that we have a choice in this. We have a participation in it. When God restores us, he allows us to come alongside and go, like, I want you to do this. I want you to build this part in your life. We have the option to say no. But what does that do? It stumps our spiritual growth. But when we align our will to God's will and go, okay, God, I'm going to step into obedience. I'm going to do this. Then more of that gets filled in. And we are still a restoration project, but we are being restored. And the cool thing is it not good news that God is doing the building? It's not all on us. Isn't that good news? 1 Peter 5:10 says this. I love how it starts. After you have suffered a little while. Anybody can relate to that? So, if you haven't suffered as a Christian, it's coming. So after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself what? Confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So God is doing this work, but he calls us to be a part of it, to be a part of the restoration project. And so again, when we talk about building, so he equips, he's restoring us, the idea that the gifts of the church are for the restoring or the calling to, the equipping, the completing of the sons and daughters of God. We are called then, look what it says in verse 12 again, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is also known as, okay, it's the church. The body of Christ is also known as the church. Okay, so we see that we are called in this restoration project, we are called to build with God, brick by brick, the width of the church as well as the depth of the church. That we're called to go into the world, preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus through our works and our words. We're called to also, within community, grow in depth, to grow in depth. And it's not just a purpose, something that's like, okay, go do that. It's actually who you are. And if we could just understand that, here's what I mean. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Did you know that? That you are the body of Christ? Not just you by yourself, but y'all are part of the body of Christ and individually members of something greater than yourself, the church. My main point again, when our purpose is Christ, we grow. Look at verse 13. "Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." If you've ever wondered, how do you spiritually grow? I think it's a good question. The answer is to live as you were purposed to live. We see to fill the earth with God's kingdom. We've already seen that we're called as God's ambassadors to go and spread and build, to build his church, to invite in, to welcome others as Christ has welcomed us, to not only build in width as in numbers, as in people, as in souls, but also in depth as we get rooted and grounded in his word and grow as disciples of Christ. We're also called to unify around this cause. Let me read it again. "Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood." So all these things we unify around what? The knowledge of the Son of God. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. To mature manhood, or to a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I absolutely love that because it makes me think about, like, when you were a kid, hopefully, and I know this isn't for all of us, but there was a point in my life where I really wanted to be like my dad. And then, you know, that got let down. Some of you guys know my story, and my real dad wasn't really there for me. When I was a kid, I wanted nothing more than to be like him. When it talks about to live into the stature of Christ, it's like we look up to Christ, and we want to be like him. That's what that spiritual maturity is talking about. It's like when it says that to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that stature is like height and build and certain structure of a person. And just imagine we as kids looking to Christ going, "Man, I want to be like him." That speaks into our spiritual maturity. It speaks into this idea that that's what the result of us filling God's earth with his kingdom, building up his church in width and depth, and unifying around the cause of Christ, it begins to speak to our maturity in that we want more and more to be like Christ. Thank you. And what are the benefits of maturity as we grow in Christ? Verse 14, "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." So what we see here is that, okay, that they may no longer be children. In other words, it's time for us to grow up, to spiritually mature. Why? So that we're not tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. In other words, every new thing that comes in, it's just like we just go, and we get sidetracked. It's like you don't have to live that way. Why? Because we have his word and you have his spirit dwelling in you that anchors you, and you have a church around you where you can go, hey, what do you think about this new philosophy or this idea? And then hopefully you ask the right person there. It's like, well, actually, the Bible says, and then we realign our thinking too. We don't have to get knocked around by every new idea. And ideas of sexuality and the ideas of politics and all the stuff that we've been inundated with and all the philosophies that are out there that are trying to come against what it looks like to be a Christian. It's like, no, I know what my God says, and I'm going to hold fast. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. And so we see that how do you grow spiritually? You live as your purpose to live. And so we fill the earth with God's kingdom. We build his church. We unify around the cause. And we see that the benefits of maturity anchors us. Now look at 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom, verse 16, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, one of the cool things is that we are called as a people to speak the truth in love. Now, here's what I have seen time and time again, is that we are called, that a wise man is called to receive rebuke, according to Proverbs. So the wisdom says that if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you're off course, you would be wise to at least adhere or listen. So, and it does, you know what's interesting about Proverbs is it doesn't say anything about relational equity or about how well you know the person or their political status or their economic status. It doesn't say anything. It just says if somebody comes up to you and rebukes you, you're called to receive it. And I think it's easy for us, like if a homeless person comes up to you and just says, hey, you're a jerk. Like the scriptures would say it'd be wise if you're just like, gosh, am I? And you search. Like you just search. But here's what I have seen within the context. Thankfully, we don't have to just be strangers. You see, we're called as a church to love one another. And then to speak into each other's lives, which assumes relationship. You see, a part of our mission statement is that we are a family. That we're a family. And we're called to speak in love and build up this local body, which is an expression of the universal body of Christ, just one small piece of the big body of Christ. We're a local expression. We're called to love one another, which also means sometimes having those hard conversations. Hey, this is true. Sis, I've seen this. Bro, I've seen this. And to be clear, I'm in this with you. I'm not beyond reproach or beyond rebuke. In fact, I like it. I know that sounds weird. I may not like it at first, so don't make me eat my words, but I actually want to grow in Christ. And so we're called to be in relationship with one another and call each other out every once in a while and speak into each other with love. So one, speaking the truth in love, and these are commands, these are imperatives in this section of text, we're to grow up in every way. So the call is to speak to each other in love and to grow. We are called to grow spiritually. So here's what I'd say. If you haven't seen, now growth is slow. And I think if you've been around the Christian life long enough, you know that sometimes you get faster to growth times or seasons. But in the kind of the long, it's kind of like investing in I don't know, like a blue chip stock, right? Like it's going to grow, but it's really slow, right? Or most of the time. But are you growing? Like, are you spiritually growing? If not, it's time to realign our purpose to the purpose of Christ. To come back to the idea that he wants to fill this world with his kingdom. So go and do. That he wants to build his church in width and depth. So invite people as well as invest in people. It's called discipleship. It's not rocket science. And we're called to have unity around this cause. To be unified around the cause of Christ. And so disunity cast aside. And then we begin to grow in Christ as we then speak the truth in love and grow up in Christ. And it says this, it says, when all things are working properly, look at verse 16. Okay, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What is so cool is, hear me on this, you are needed to make this thing work. You have a place and a position to make this work. And as you grow in Christ as an individual and align to the purposes of Christ, then all of a sudden it helps us to grow in love together as a church. This is why Christ came to build his church so that it could be a light into this world in this dark place. I love this. The Message version of this section of text. It says this. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. I love that sentiment. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love. See, our main point this morning is when our purpose is Christ, then we grow. When our purpose is Christ, then we grow. Now, here's just my last point. I want to tie it all into this, our vision statement. This is Restoration Church. We are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. And you'll notice that from that section in Philippians, or in Ephesians, a lot of what that sentiment is there. In other words, who you are, you're a church. What does that mean? You're a family. Why the idea of family? Because brothers and sisters in Christ is how, after Acts, Christians are referred to. We see God as our Father, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're called to be a family and love on one another and invest in one another. And what's our purpose? Well, to fill all things. In other words, for people to find Jesus. And how does Jesus cause people to find him? Anyone. He uses you. He uses you. What an opportunity to share the love of Christ. And then as they do, to follow Jesus. What does that mean? To mature spiritually. And so Restoration Church, we're a restoration project. We're a church. We're a gathering, a small part of the body of Christ. We are a family, and our purpose, our very existence, is to fulfill the call of God, the Great Commission, for people to find and follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. If I could have the band come up, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would align our hearts and minds. And that you would help us to get over ourselves. And the things that would keep us from really living how you've called us to live. Because God, you've given us your word. You've given us community. You've given us your spirit. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in high places. You've given us gifts individually. You've given us grace. You've kind of paved the way, straightened the path, like taking out all the hills and the valleys and say, just walk. God, would you help us to walk and live according to your purpose and design? And give us the grace to do so. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.